choosing to spend your Mother's Day morning with us. We pray this will be a time that you're encouraged by God's word and his faithfulness to us. And as we celebrate all of the mothers and our lives and the mother figures, it's a special day of the year because it's the one day at a bare minimum that we take to celebrate some of the most important people in each of our lives. And this morning, we're going to be reading about a mother in the scriptures, and her name is Hannah. But the Bible tells us about a time in her life in which she was unable to be a mother. She was unable to have a child. The Bible tells us that the deepest desire of Hannah's heart was to have a child. And due to the culture and circumstances surrounding her, Hannah felt hopeless going into our reading this morning. She didn't know where to turn. She had nowhere else to go, but was utterly consumed by this feeling of hopelessness. She had reached the end of herself and turned towards the Lord her God. And that's what we're going to be reading this morning, focusing on God's faithfulness towards us in the waiting times. We're going to begin reading in 1 Samuel chapter 1 in verse 9. The Bible says, "So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore." God does powerful work through the prayers and faith of a surrendered heart. God works powerfully through our prayers as we seek him. And as we've already mentioned today, this day is so special because we get to honor special people in our lives. Nothing in the world can replace the love that a mother gives. Whether that's a physical mother or someone that is a guide spiritually, emotionally, in all matters of life, there is nothing that can replace that. And this is the first Mother's Day that my mom is spending in heaven with her Savior. And while I miss her here on this earth, I began reflecting on her life and all of the things that she taught me. And I was reflecting on all the things that I see my wife Mallory teaching our son Bentley every morning, every day. That impact truly could never, ever be replaced. And moms carry a lot in this life. Moms carry what sometimes feels like everything, doesn't it? Moms carry schedules, burdens, grocery lists, family problems, missing shoes, homework assignments. You're juggling it all, yet you know where everyone's stuff is except your own. Moms carry a heavy burden. They're worried about a lot. They're juggling a lot. And the love of a mother is something there is no substitute for. And if we're honest, one of the hardest things about loving people deeply is that sometimes you carry burdens that nobody else knows anything about. Sometimes as parents, we carry burdens for our children that no one else will ever know. As a family, we have burdens within inside the family unit that no one outside of the house knows. As Christians, sometimes we carry burdens that no one else, even sitting next to us, sitting behind us, sitting in front of us, they know nothing about the burden in which we carry. We bring heavy things with us into church all the time, but we can pray and give those burdens over to God. But sometimes God can seem silent. Sometimes we can pray and it can feel as if the prayer is never getting through the ceiling and God is never hearing our prayers to him. So the question I have this morning is, how do we respond when God hasn't answered the deepest desire of our heart yet? How do we respond when God hasn't answered the prayer that we've prayed dozens of times, hundreds of times, when he hasn't answered yet? How do we respond? And that's why I've entitled my sermon this morning, When Heaven Feels Silent. When Heaven Feels Silent. Because this morning we're going to be looking at this passage. We're going to be reading about the life of Hannah as she was waiting for an answer to prayer. And heaven felt silent. But through her life, we see three right responses for the seasons of our life when God hasn't answered yet. And the first thing we need to do with that burden is bring it honestly. We need to bring our burdens honestly before the Lord. Watch what verse 9 says. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. And the previous verses tell us that Hannah was in a bit of distress leading up into this meal. The scripture tells us she did not even touch her plate. She didn't eat any food. She didn't drink anything. Truly, Hannah was burdened down by all that was happening in her life. But notice it says after they were done eating, she got up and she left. Everyone at the table was done. Everyone at the table had finished eating. They had finished drinking. They had moved on about their day. But Hannah is still carrying a heavy burden. Has that ever happened to you? You're carrying a heavy burden, and for a time you're struggling and you're trying to work through it, but it seems like everyone else has forgotten about the situation. It seems like everyone else has moved on, but you're still here struggling, trying to work through those circumstances. I can only imagine that's how Hannah is feeling in this moment. Completely alone, like no one sees or cares about what she is going through. But notice with me where Hannah goes after she leaves the table. The verse continues, "Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord." This is where we're introduced to Eli, the priest of the temple that Hannah goes to. Hannah immediately goes to the house of the Lord in the midst of her hurt and questions. But if we're honest with ourselves this morning, who do we run to first when we are hurt? Who do we run to first when we have questions that we need answers? Do we take it to God in prayer? Or do we go and tell a friend? Or do we go and complain to family members or tell anyone that will listen? Because the truth is, only God can offer the help that Hannah needed and the help that we need this morning. But notice Hannah's state as she approaches the Lord in verse 10, and she was in bitterness of soul. She was in bitterness of soul. The emotions that she carried into this prayer meeting as she went before God was not joy. It was not happiness, but rather it was anger and bitterness and confusion of, Lord, what is going on? This wasn't just about wanting a child. This wasn't just about what she couldn't have in this life. This had become a source of shame, pain, and confusion in her life. The Bible tells us that adversaries were provoking her, reminding her of what she was unable to do. It felt as if everyone else was against her. And this was something that the Bible says she was fearful of. She fretted of daily, consumed by the fear of what would happen in the future, consumed by the fret of not being good enough. Hannah loved God. Hannah worshiped God. Yet Hannah still hurt deeply. And some Christians mistakenly believe, if I was just more spiritual, this wouldn't bother me emotionally. Or if I was just more spiritual, if I was closer to God, I wouldn't be hurt. Or I wouldn't be struggling with these emotions. And my friend, I would point you to multiple Bible characters, people from the scriptures this morning. I look at David in the Psalms. David shed a lot of tears in the Psalms, okay? He shed tears in the Psalms. Job, in the midst of his suffering, cursed the day that he was even born. Jeremiah, a prophet to Israel, is known as the weeping prophet. Even Jesus Christ was described as a man of sorrows. As a Christian, if you're struggling or hurting this morning, it does not mean that you're not spiritual. But I can also promise you that God is with you. God is nearest to those that are hurting. Psalms 34:18 tells us, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." God cares for the brokenhearted. God cares for those that are struggling, and he is nearest to them. Notice with me that even as Hannah was bitter, what her next action was, she's come to the temple in bitterness of soul, but notice what the scripture says next. And prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. This is the turning point of the entire passage, because Hannah, instead of letting her pain drive her away from God or isolate her from people, Hannah instead turned to the Lord in prayer. Her pain drove her to the one that loved her most. And there are many other ways that people attempt to deal with sorrow and stress in this life, aren't there? There's a lot of things that people will run to try to de-stress themselves or try to numb the pain. We all have different coping mechanisms and things that we use. If I would be personal for just a moment, me and Mallory have an ongoing joke. If it's been a long day or if there's just been a lot going on, we're stressed out, we're like, what is going to happen next? On the way home, I always say, hey, it's a hot dog and ice cream kind of night. And she always looks at me like, a hot dog and ice cream kind of night? I'm like, yeah, we're going to Aldi. I'm getting some hot dogs. I'm getting some ice cream. That's our dinner. That's what we're doing. That's my personal escape, okay? That's just a peek into my personal life. Hot dogs and ice cream is what I turn to. But I'm encouraged by the fact that Hannah turned to God. Hannah didn't turn to any food. She didn't turn to any substance. Hannah turned to the one that loved her most. And the Bible tells us she wept sore. She was intensely weeping. This was not some perfect or polished prayer. Sometimes as Christians, we feel as if we should pray, but we have no idea what to say. What Hannah's praying here, it's not a polished prayer. It's not a perfect prayer that she had practiced and rehearsed. But let me tell you, God is not looking for polished prayers, and God is not looking for polished people. Some people make the mistake of thinking, I need to get myself to be good enough, and then I'll go before the Lord. But the Lord accepts you as you are. He died for your sins thousands of years ago. The Lord does not ask us to clean ourselves up and then come to Him. He asks us to bring our burdens honestly to Him, to talk with Him, to commune with Him. What burden have we been carrying emotionally that we still haven't brought to God this morning? What have we been carrying, maybe even trying to brush off, that we can bring to the Lord this morning? Because David says in Psalm 62:8, trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. David tells us to trust in the Lord at all times. Why? Because He is a refuge for us. He is our safe place. Even when everything in the world is crazy and we don't know what's going to happen next or what tomorrow may hold, God does, and God is our refuge. So David says, pour out your heart to Him. Pour out your heart, for God is our refuge. And he says, Selah, think about this. Think about the fact that the God of the universe, Almighty God, He is your refuge. He cares for you specifically. And Hannah was pouring out her heart. This prayer was not prepared and practiced. It was raw, vulnerable, and transparent. Hannah was struggling. But God alone is our refuge, and God alone was Hannah's refuge. God was Hannah's safety and comfort, as He is ours. God heard Hannah's broken prayer. God saw every tear that she cried. God was not distant in the moment, even though He seemed silent. But Hannah's prayer did not stop with her simply bringing her burden honestly before God. That's the first step, to bring our burden honestly to Him. But eventually her brokenness led her to a place of complete surrender. Notice our second point this morning, surrender it fully. Surrender it fully. And verse 11 says, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts. Hannah in her desperation makes a promise to God. And she says, Lord of hosts, the thought being the God of angel armies, a God that is all powerful beyond this world. Lord, I'm praying to you, and Lord, I promise you a promise to a God that care deeply about her and is all powerful. Hannah in this moment is turning from despair and suffering and giving her future and surrendering her future to the Lord. But what does it mean to surrender our future to the Lord? Because I think we all have some plans, don't we? We all have some plans. But when we surrender our future to the Lord, we're saying, Lord, you can change my plans. The Lord can change your plans whether you give him permission or not. But when you surrender your plans to him, you're saying, Lord, I'm content. Lord, I'm okay with wherever you lead and you guide in this situation. And she's surrendering her future, saying, God, you do as only you can. And this is what she says in her prayer to God, continuing in our main scripture. If thou will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid. I think this is the most important part of this entire scripture. I'm going to read it one more time. If thou will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid. This reveals the true hurt and pain that Hannah was carrying. It wasn't just that she couldn't have a child. It wasn't what the people around her were saying. But if you read that section, Hannah believes that the Lord has forgotten about her. She says, Lord, forget not thy handmaid. Lord, remember thine handmaid. Lord, remember me. She feels utterly alone and forgotten in this time. And the circumstances of her life had discouraged her, but she was hurt most because she felt like God had forgotten her. Has anyone here this morning ever felt forgotten? And I'm not talking about as a small child when I would go out and I would play with the older neighbor kids or my cousins, and I would be saying something, and we'd be having conversation, and then all of a sudden they would turn to each other, and they're like, wait. Where did Noah go? And I was like, hey guys, I'm right here. I'm walking with you still. And then they'd say the dreaded words, oh, do you hear that wind? Why is the wind so loud? What is that? I said, guys, no, I'm right here. Guys, Noah's right here. And they'd be like, man, that wind is really loud. And in those moments, as I was standing around them, all I wanted to do, all I wanted to be, was to feel noticed. In that moment, I felt forgotten, but that was simply for minutes of a day. I'm talking about feeling forgotten for days, feeling forgotten for weeks, as if no one else notices what we may be going through. I'd bet in a group this large that there are many people sitting here this morning, even this morning, that feel forgotten. And Hannah's prayer continues, but will give unto thine handmaid, this is what she's asking for, a man child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. This is the emotional climax of the verse here. Hannah proclaims that if God will give her a son to carry on the lineage of her family, if God will give her a son, she will surrender him back immediately to the Lord. I can't help but think about Abraham as he's given a son in old age and then asks, would you sacrifice your only son, Isaac, on Mount Moriah? And we know that God provided a sacrifice. But are you willing to surrender what matters most in your life to the Lord this morning? It may be a job. It may be an opportunity. It may be a child or a family member. But are you willing to surrender that to the Lord this morning to use it for his honor and his glory? This is why we do baby dedications at the church. We dedicated my son Bentley to the Lord, I want to believe a little over a year ago now. And what were we saying when we dedicated him to the Lord? Lord, we're surrendering his life to you, Lord. We're praying that you would use Bentley for your honor and your glory. You would use him to tell others about Jesus Christ. You would use him to point others to you. And this is the moment that the tone of Hannah's prayer shifts. From simply, Lord, bless me, please do this for me, to Lord, use me. Lord, use this situation for your honor and your glory as only you can. There are situations in our lives that only God can bring good from. It must be surrendered to him. Notice what Paul says in Romans 8, 28 through 29. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For him, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Has anyone ever had a situation in their life that you just thought, how could any good come from this situation? Has that ever happened to anyone else? I know it's happened to me. Okay, it's happened to a few people in the crowd where you say, Lord, how could you bring good from this situation? Because God can do what only he can do. There's situations in our life we may not be able to see. Lord, how can you do good here? But God knows. God understands. God knows exactly what he's going to do. And it's because of that fact this morning, I promise you, whatever it is that you're going through, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that whatever you're going through, God is using it for a reason, and that reason is to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. But notice, after Hannah prays for a child and surrenders him back to the Lord, verse 12 continues, and it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now, we have to realize Hannah was not praying for seconds or minutes. Hannah was most likely praying for hours here. She was pouring out her heart before the Lord. And all of a sudden, we see that when it says Eli marked her mouth, it means that Eli took notice of her prayer. Notice as verse 13 continues, now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. So the scripture tells us that Eli is looking at Hannah, and all he sees is this woman sobbing and mouthing the words of her prayer, not even speaking out loud. This was not some rehearsed religion or external performance by Hannah. This is Hannah pouring her soul and heart out to the Lord. And the verse continues in verse 13. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. Talk about a miscommunication. Talk about a missed observance here. Hannah's pouring her heart out to the Lord, and the Bible says she's sobbing and she's talking, but she's just mouthing the words. And so, I mean, to be fair to Eli, this is really all he's seeing. You know, that's all he's seeing. He's seeing the tears, he's seeing the sobbing, but he's just seeing the mouth moving. No words are being said. And so Eli continues in verse 14. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. Eli seems frustrated here, doesn't he? Eli's the priest of the temple. He's watching over the temple, and he sees Hannah, and he thinks that she's making a mockery of God's house. But Hannah is actually probably the most sincere spiritual person in this passage. She's seeking the Lord with all her heart. She wants to know God. She wants to know what God is going to do in her life. So notice Hannah's response in verse 15. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink. Hannah responds respectfully and tells Eli about her sorrow. And I'm amazed by Hannah's composure here. Think about it. You're sobbing, you're praying to God, you're in God's house, and all of a sudden someone gets up and they say, hey, you need to leave. Put your wine, put your strong drink away from you. You can't be drunk in the Lord's house. But notice how Hannah responded with amazing composure. She says, oh, Lord, respectfully addressing him, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. Sir, I'm hurting. Lord, I'm going through something. And it shows us something really important. A surrendered heart responds with grace even when wounded. Even when we're having a tough day. Even when everything is going wrong, a surrendered heart to the Lord responds with grace. How many of you have ever been around someone that if they were having a bad day, everyone else around them knew it? How many of you know a person like that? If they're having a bad day, guess what? Everyone else around them is going to know they're having a bad day, and they're going to take it out on everyone else. That's not what Hannah does. She's careful and she responds rightly to Eli. She responds respectfully. She explains that she is not intoxicated, but this is anguish in which she is experiencing. And the scripture continues this morning, but have poured out my soul, the innermost part of her being, have poured out my soul before the Lord. Hannah had come before God and held nothing back. She didn't mince any words. She didn't cut the prayer short. She said, I have poured out everything to God. This is exactly how I feel. And I've told it all to my Lord. And verse 16, Hannah continues, count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Hannah is respectfully saying, don't mistake me for a rebellious or a sinful woman, someone that's a worshiper of other gods. But rather, she says, I'm praying due to an overflow of everything that is happening in my life. Because of everything that is going on, I'm praying and I'm seeking the Lord. The depth of Hannah's sorrow had become the depth of her prayer. All that Hannah was going through had deepened her prayer before God as she spoke with him. And many times in our lives as Christians this morning, God uses tough situations and waiting times to draw us nearer to him. Notice what Psalm 42, 1 through 2 says. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? The psalmist here is comparing a deer in the wilderness that needs to drink water to survive to how we should approach God's word. We should be seeking after God, looking in his word, wanting to know him more as badly as the deer that is seeking water. And as I thought back on this verse, it reminded me of a time many years ago as I was still playing football. And, you know, practices are hot in the middle of the summer and all these things. And we had this thing called the water tree, okay? It was called the water tree, but you know what it was? It was two stands with a completely rusted pipe sitting on top, okay? Two stands, a completely rusted pipe sitting on top, and it had about 10 holes poked in this rusted pipe. And when they turned the hose water on, it was so that 10 people could drink from that water spout at the same time. When I think back to that now, I'm disgusted. I'm like, how did I ever drink water out of that thing? But can I tell you, when I was thirsty, when I needed water, it didn't matter what the water tree looked like. All I knew is there was water coming out of it. I needed that water because of how thirsty I was. But if we're honest this morning, do we have that same thirst, that same desire to know our Savior? Do we have that same thirst to know God? He's given us his word if we'll read it and we'll seek him. Notice with me in verse 17, Eli's response. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Eli tells Hannah that she can have peace, notice, as she leaves, not after God answers the prayer. Sometimes the greatest turning point in prayer is not when God answers it. It's when we surrender it to him. It's when we say, Lord, I'm not going to worry about this anymore. Lord, I'm giving this into your hands. That is the turning point of prayer. Not when the miracle arrives. Not when the prayer is answered. Because surrendering a situation to God and knowing that he is fully in control, that takes the burden off of us. Because he is able. Verse 18 says, and she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Hannah realizes her need for God's enabling grace and power. But notice the dramatic shift from verse 9 to verse 18. In verse 9, Hannah was crippled by sadness, not talking to anyone, not speaking to anyone. And in verse 18, she's going out about her day. In verse 9, she was unable to eat at the dinner table. And in verse 18, we see her eating a meal. In verse 9, we see her weeping and bitter. But now we see her countenance is no longer sad. This change is only possible when we surrender our burdens to the Lord. This is the result of a surrendered heart. Is there something in your life this morning that needs to be surrendered to the Lord? A situation or a loved one that you've been praying for? You say, Lord, I'm giving this wholly over to you. Because when we surrender fully, the burden is taken. But notice Hannah not only surrendered to God, but it changed the way that she waited on the answer. Instead of living in fear and frustration, instead we see she is trusting in him completely, which leads us to our last point this morning. Trust him completely. Trust him completely. Verse 19 says, and they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord. Hannah, before an answer, is worshiping God. She's coming before God. She's praising him before her prayer is ever answered. And real faith, real genuine faith, worships God before the answer arrives. If God's answer doesn't come in our timing when we would like it to, will we still choose to worship and trust him anyway? If it's not according to our plan, will we trust his plan? The prophet Habakkuk said this in Habakkuk 3, 17 through 18. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Habakkuk is saying, in shorthand, if everything goes wrong, if nothing changes, if everything goes wrong, verse 18, he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk is saying, even if these situations do not change, I will praise God. I will rejoice in God. Why? Because he loves me. Because he saved me. Can I tell you, God sent his son 2,000 years ago to die for the sins of the world. That whosoever shall call upon his name shall be saved. Why would he do that? Because Romans 3 tells us we are all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We have earned death and separation from God. But through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that is why we can rejoice in our Savior. No matter the circumstances of life, we can rejoice in the God of our salvation. And the verse, our main verse, continues this morning. As Hannah continues worshiping God, even in her waiting time, the verse continues, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. As Hannah's life continues, she stayed faithful, waiting on God. And the Bible says, in due time, the Lord remembered Hannah. Verse 20 continues, wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. The truth we see in verse 20 is this. Hannah, although she experienced silence, her prayers were answered. Her prayers were heard even in times of silence. And notice the beginning of verse 20 tells us when it came to pass, when the time was come, God had a plan, God had a purpose for it all. But God's timing is rarely ever our timing. But God's timing is always better than ours. God opens doors and closes doors perfectly in time, every time. Because he knows better than us. And Samuel's name is literally interpreted, asked of God or heard of God. Think about that for a moment. Hannah, every time she saw her son Samuel, she was remembering God's faithfulness towards her. She was remembering the prayers that God had heard. And I'm sure as a parent myself, when I look at Bentley, I see his face. I know he's not perfect. I know he causes some trouble. A lot of trouble. But when I see his face, I'm reminded of God's faithfulness. I'm reminded of how good God has been to us. And Samuel's name is literally a reminder to Hannah of don't forget what God did. When was the last time you thought back and thought about a situation God brought you through in the past? A situation you thought you would never get through, but hey, you're here this morning because God helped you through it. God hears the prayers of his children. And it's not a question whether will God hear my prayer, it's a certainty. Read the final verse with us this morning from Psalm 34:17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord promises to hear the righteous. And the Bible tells us we are righteous if we have called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save us. If we've come to a point in our life at a time when we realized we were a sinner, we fell short of the glory of God, we realized Jesus, faith in Jesus, is the only way to heaven. The Bible says if we put our faith in him and in him alone, there is life everlasting, and that the Father, God the Father, sees us as righteous before his very eyes. If you've made the decision to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible says you are seen as righteous before God, and God will help us in his time. But many times, waiting times can be very hard times. So let me ask once more this morning, how do we respond when God hasn't answered the deepest desire of our heart yet? How do we respond when God hasn't answered our prayer? When heaven feels silent, how do we respond? Hannah shows us that we should bring that prayer, that burden. We should bring it honestly. Pour it out before the Lord. He knows your heart. You're not hiding anything from him. Bring it to God honestly. But also we should surrender it fully, knowing there's an almighty God that loves us and sent his son for us, and that he is in control to give our burdens over to him, for he careth for us. And after we've brought it honestly, after we've surrendered it fully, we can trust him completely in the waiting time. No matter the situation, how bleak it may seem, we can rest in the fact that even though it may be a waiting time, we know that God knows exactly where we are and who we are. God works powerfully through the prayers and faith of a surrendered heart. So this morning, whatever burden you carried into this room, don't leave carrying it alone. Bring it honestly, surrender it fully, trust him completely. Because the God who remembered Hannah has not forgotten about you. If you would bow your heads and stand with me as we close this time of preaching in a word of prayer and invitation. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to be here. And Lord, I pray that in the waiting seasons of our life, Lord, as we carry burdens that no one else knows anything about, Lord, you know about those burdens. Lord, you care for us like nobody else ever could. I have just two questions this morning as heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe you're here this morning as we talked about God having a purpose for everything that happens in the life of a believer and how every believer is made righteous through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Maybe there's one, two, or three here this morning. They would say, I don't know if I'm seen as righteous before the eyes of God. I don't know if I've ever accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. The Bible tells us that we can know that we have eternal life, that we can know we'll spend an eternity in heaven if we trust in him, if we call on Christ to be our personal Savior. Is there anyone here this morning that would say, I don't know if I've ever asked Christ to be my personal Savior. I'm here this morning. I don't know if I'll be spending an eternity in heaven. I won't call you out, but I do want to pray for you. If you would say, Pastor Noah, please pray for me. I'm not sure that heaven is my eternal home. Would you pray for me? If there's anyone like that in the room this morning, would you raise your hand now? Just slip up your hand. No one's looking around. I will not embarrass you, but I do want to pray for you. It's the most important decision you'll ever make, to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Maybe there's a Christian here this morning that would say, I am in a waiting time. Or I know that I'm carrying burdens that no one else knows anything about. And at times it can feel overwhelming. And I know, I was reminded this morning that I need to trust the Lord with these things. I need to bring my burdens to Him. I need the Lord's grace and strength in my life. If that's you this morning, you'd say, I need the Lord's grace and strength in my life. I need to bring my burdens to Him. If that's you this morning, would you slip your hand up? Hands up all around the room. And put your hands down. Lord, I pray for those that have not accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Lord, that you would prompt their hearts. Lord, that they would come and talk to someone through the scriptures, how they can know that they can spend an eternity in heaven. And Lord, for those that feel overwhelmed this morning, Lord, for those that will feel overwhelmed in the future, Lord, help us to remember these principles of bringing it to you, Lord. Lord, leaving it with you and trusting you completely. Father, be with us. Give us grace and strength. The altar is open. The time of invitation is open. If you'd like to come forward and pray or pray with someone in the front of the auditorium, the altar is open. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to gather in your house, Lord, to be encouraged by your word. Lord, again, thank you for the mothers that you've placed in our lives. Lord, we thank you for the grace and strength you give as we carry burdens, Lord, that no one else knows anything about. But Lord, we thank you. We can take them to you. Lord, be with us as we go. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.